Vince Vaughn, yum yum, gimme some. Jonah Hill,
sure,
he's a funny guy, right? Ben Stiller, okay, why not? Richard Ayoade,
who?
Well, this week Hollywood unleashes The Watch, a comedy with an all-star cast trying to recapture that Ghostbuster magic. Are they successful, or is it simply just time to cross the streams? We'll review the big releases on Blu-ray and DVD, and then we'll close out this Titanic show with a rousing rendition of Call It. So do us all a favor and keep your fingers out of those holes, especially the glowing orb ones. Dave knows what I mean. We're the first round.
Yuck.
There is an alien invasion happening.
They're among us.
That's why I founded the Neighborhood Watch.
Any one of these people could be an alien.
Check her out.
It's like she's studying some new discovery. Should I put it in my flavor snout?
Wait a second, I've seen this stuff before.
Had he just won a Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Award?
Here we go. Jackets for the watch.
Tiger with wings.
A tiger, flames, and wings all in the same logo. It's like the Chinese symbol for shut up and dance.
Franklin, what are you doing? Who are these people?
Damn it, Mom, stay out of my room!
Sorry, Mima. I was trying to impress my friends. I was trying to be a big man.
I love you.
Shh.
I have this one scenario in my mind. Sexy Asian housewife alone at night. Best call the watch. And then she sucks.
Okay, well.
I'm also interested in that happening to me.
We're not going to let Glenview be ground zero for some alien invasion.
We can't trust anyone.
Look at his face.
Look at my face.
Look at his face and listen to me.
Look at him and listen to me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at him and understand me. Look at both of us, but understand no one. Listen to my words and hear his face. I found something.
Nobody touches this ball until we figure out what it is.
Whoa! Jeez! That's terrible for the cow, but this thing's awesome.
If first thing in war is lost, it's innocence.
Yeah! Anything from outer space, kill it.
Die! Die!
This thing's a goner for sure.
Who wants a snapper with the lizard man?
Here we go. Oh, that looks good.
Hi, I'm Allison Brie.
And I'm Joel McHale.
And subscribe to ENT TV.
It's just ENTV for all your entertainment news first.
No, it's EENTV.
It's just ENTV, so whatever.
It's ENENTEVE.
Dave, we just heard a little bit from The Watch, formerly known as Neighborhood Watch, but retitled due to the unfortunate incidents in Florida. So we have a group of all-star comedians. I mean, Vince Vaughn, who was one of my all-time favorite actors.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Who pretty much just really just does Vince Vaughn. I mean, that's his thing. I can't imagine him doing anything but at this point. Jonah Hill, I feel like Jonah Hill is cast for, because he's the kids like Jonah Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all a big fan of his. Ben Stiller, for some reason, has been a little, man, I don't know, lately, I just haven't really seen a lot of Ben Stiller fans that I've been, or films that I've been a fan of.
No, I haven't seen one in a long time. Well, that's not true. I've seen movies that he's been in that I thought were good, but not because he was in them.
Fair enough. And then Richard Ayoade, excuse me, who they brought in, who's the newest member of this group. And I feel like he's brought in because he's the new, young, up-and-coming, possible film comedy star. So that's what they're, I feel like they're covering their bases.
Yeah.
So we have these four actors who are basically form a neighborhood watch to fend off what looks like to be an alien invasion and all the hilarity that ensues from that premise. Now, as I said in the opening, and I've heard this in other places too, that Hollywood seems to really want to try and reignite that Ghostbusters event, where you mix in the subtle scares with just raucous comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been tried a few times since then, and it just never seems to work out. So, Dave, does the watch fulfill that promise? Do we have a Ghostbusters of the next generation?
Oh, hell no. not even remotely. This movie was god-awful. It wasn't god-awful, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if I saw this movie, I'm already going to get to the part where I say, like, if you should go see this movie, because you shouldn't go see this movie.
Fair enough.
You're supporting bad everything.
Right.
Like, you are basically giving your money to people who are trying to take it from you forcefully.
They're duping you?
Yeah, they're duping you. If I saw this movie on, like, a Sunday afternoon on TBS when I was a little bit hungover, I might chuckle a couple times. I wouldn't be upset about it.
But
sitting in a theater, I was like, literally, like, when does this movie end? Jonah Hill, I thought, was pretty funny, right?
He had
his moments for me. There were a couple action scenes that I thought were really funny, kind of like in Pineapple Express, where that movie would kind of get going in the action scenes. And since these people just had no business doing action scenes, it made it funny, you know? But right. Other than that, I found nothing in this movie that I liked. Nothing.
Yeah, I pretty much chuckled twice myself.
Yeah.
And you almost get a feeling while you're watching it that they all know that this thing is a turkey.
Yeah.
While they're making it. They know that it's not going to go anywhere and it's not going to be that good. But then they decide, you know what? To hell with it. We'll get a decent paycheck out of this. We might as well ride out the wave.
Yeah.
There's a couple times, too. And I go back and forth on one thing, too, if they should have stuck more to the script. I wonder, because there are scenes that you can clearly tell they're improvising.
Yeah.
Specifically, for me, one of the more painful scenes in the film is when they're trying to figure out a way to get into Billy Crudup's house. So they're going to make Jonah Hill dress in drag. And they go through this whole sequence on how they're going to pull that off and how, well, I could totally see him as a woman type of thing. But it feels so forced. And I'm wondering, though, so that was a downfall. Then so I say maybe they should have stuck more to the script. But the rest of the script just wasn't that funny either. This was written by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and then Jared Stern. And Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg brought a Superbad. I mean, they brought some pretty damn funny movies. But I'm wondering if every now and then, though, they just get a little too high while they're writing these films and things seem a lot funnier than they actually are.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with this movie. It's poorly executed. There's not an ounce of imagination in it. And in the biggest sin of all, it's just not funny.
Yeah.
And something else, too, that bothered me, which is weird to hear coming from me, it was needlessly vulgar. Like,
out of place.
I like a good dick joke, like everybody else, perhaps even more so than some people. I like obscene humor, but it seemed there just to be vulgar, not to be funny, just to think, just for them to say stuff that was somehow inappropriate. And then when that happens, when you shoehorn that kind of comedy in, it actually becomes distracting.
Yeah.
And it's not funny.
Yeah, I almost think this would have been better as a PG-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something a little more for the kids.
Right.
I think it would have had a wider audience. And I think the humor, if they had just taken out the vulgarity, I think the humor would have sat better with kind of that, like, you know, younger,
right,
sophomore kind
of That's humor. Quite possible. Part of the problem with film, too, it's entirely too broad. There's too much there, but there's no depth to it. It's like a lot. It's all surface. It's all character flyover. You don't get into any of these characters, who they are really. Everybody's just a paint by numbers character of a person, and there's no reason to get involved or even care. They try and have this whole preposterous plot line with Ben Stiller and his wife and their marriage and how they're having trouble conceiving a child, and the whole. And I don't even care about ruining this. The whole thing is that it's Stiller's issue. He's actually sterile, but he can't come up with the way to tell his wife.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. If you take an ounce, take a minute and think about that, why wouldn't he have that conversation? He's just going to continue on infinitum, just pretending that they just can't seem to have a kid if he's in such a great relationship. It's just little things like that that make absolutely no sense. It just, I don't know. I didn't expect much going into it, so I wasn't terribly disappointed because we always say that the biggest sin that comedies make is they put all the funny lines in the trailer.
Yeah, but if you don't laugh during a trailer,
bingo,
you're not.
And that's exactly what happened with this film, too.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's just nothing here for you.
Yeah, it's entirely skippable, especially up this week coming up. You have Total Recall, which I'm kind of interested in seeing, though I didn't realize it's Len Wiseman who did the first Underworld film, which I think is a horrible movie. I don't like any of his work. Somebody once said that all he does is keep making movies to keep his wife employed, which is Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, really?
And,
is she in this?
Yeah, she is.
That's a good point.
And then a week after that, there have been early reviews of The Bourne Legacy where they say it's an exceptionally intense film. So
really?
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
I'm happy to hear that because I have no interest in seeing that movie at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the movie poster just kind of like... The movie poster makes an excuse for the movie.
Yeah.
That is just kind of ridiculous. I don't know. I'm just not into that movie. I hope it's good, but I just can't.
I think it's going to be. So if you have a choice at the movie theater this weekend, though...
Make it different.
Well, this Friday comes up. when this show gets posted, Total Recall will be out. So I'd say go see that or go see Dark Knight again. But this is really not... It's not worth your time. I don't know if I can recommend even renting it. I really can't. It's not worth the effort to seek it out. It isn't.
Yeah. It's a good nap movie.
Maybe Dave's right. If you're slightly hungover on a Saturday morning, waking up and happens to be on TBS, you can sit through it.
Yeah.
But that's it. Maybe it's like a cleaning your apartment.
It really is. It's totally throwaway.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's our discussion of The Watch, which is playing everywhere right now. If you've got a chance to see it and you think we're terribly wrong and this is really the stripes of our generation, let me know. Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Let's take a quick break, come back, and tell you what's coming up on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, August 7th. And, there's a lot of new to blues, but really nothing much to talk about. So I just want to get everybody excited for that segment.
We'll Great. Be right back.
Dear Mom, I'd been under a lot of stress at work. And I'd come into a windfall of cash. So I decided to take that Mexican vacation I'd been planning. Now, despite what people say, I had no trouble whatsoever getting across the border. Some nice people were there to greet me when I landed.
What's your name?
Bosa. Dennis. Ruben.
I got some great snapshots. And they recommended a reasonable place for me to stay. It wasn't 5-star, but someone had stolen my cash. So I told them to charge me.
Shoes, puto!
There were lots of fun activities. The different sights, sounds, smells of a new culture. There was plenty of interaction with the locals. And Mom, I think I met someone special. Wow, she was Capricorn. She has a kid.
Cigarette?
No.
I think he was beginning to warm up to me.
Well, I guess you are special. I need a spotter.
Yeah, for the gig.
Hey.
But wouldn't you know it?
Something stinks about you.
You are pushing my leg?
I wouldn't push your leg. Even though you're having a blast.
Where is my money?
Cut a toe off.
We already did that, boss. Two of them.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
He killed my father!
Problems crop up.
I never know when they'll come for my son.
Trouble in paradise.
Yeah, well, we're not gonna let that happen.
If I want my trip to go smooth, I gotta nip this stuff in the bud.
And you're not going to leave me like this, are you?
Well, Mom, I can't wait to get back. Who am I kidding? I'm not coming back.
Gringo!
Gringo, gringo.
Bingo, gringo.
Welcome back to the Big Show. And one quick thing, though, I didn't really mention it when we were talking about The Watch. I did enjoy some of the moments with Iota. I thought he was fine. If there's anybody in that film that I would give a pass to and say, you did what you could, it would be Iota.
I thought he was totally forgettable.
Fair enough. Now back on to more important things. Okay. The Blu-ray DVD picks for this Tuesday, August 7th. First up, exceptionally underwhelming animated film we saw that didn't really even make a lot of sense. The Lorax.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a 3D Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy, ultraviolet version, as well as a Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy, ultraviolet version you can get.
Are there any good Dr. Seuss movies?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot, though.
Yeah.
So, I didn't see that Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers, though I've heard the thing is an absolute horrible film.
Yeah.
Comes with commentary by the co-directors, some deleted scenes, a karaoke sing-along, and there's three mini-movies if you get the Blu-ray. So, there's that. You gotta get that going for you. what's supposed to be a fantastic documentary, which I have not seen, played at Real Artways here in Hartford for like a month. Marley, about the dog.
Yes. That dies?
No, it's a documentary about Bob Marley.
It's
supposed to be fantastic.
Is his music in this?
Yes, it is. They actually use his music. It includes some unforeseen concert footage, interviews with family and friends, and the impact of his life and all that kind of stuff. It's supposed to be really good, so I'll be catching up with that.
That'd be cool.
I'm sure it'll hit Netflix instantly.
He's a pretty interesting character who led a really interesting life.
Yeah. And then your New to Blue segment, here's stuff that's reaching Blu-ray for the first time. Full Metal Jacket, though not getting released for the first time, is getting a 25th anniversary book edition. So if you're a fan of that film, it includes a 44-page digibook, includes a personal letter, and intimate reflections from Matthew Modine himself.
That's two of my favorite movies of all time.
What?
Full Metal Jacket.
Two of your favorite movies?
I swear to God, it's like two separate movies. It's like a double feature.
That's a good point. And it also includes a DVD with a 60-minute Stanley Kubrick's Boxes documentary, which sheds light on the genius and rhythm of the genius at work.
The rhythm of a genius at work.
There you go.
That's what people say about me.
Stuff getting High Fidelity, which is a great little
film. Yeah, that was a good movie.
Another Cusack classic, Gross Point Blank, which I enjoy a lot, is getting released. Clue. Remember Clue?
Yeah.
The movie based on board
that
game?
That movie does not hold up.
No, huh?
No.
I was wondering about that.
I saw that probably 2 years ago. I was like, oh my God, I used to love this movie. What happened?
Adventures in Babysitting. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which I actually think is a very funny movie. The classic John Ford, John Wayne picture Rio Grande is getting released.
Oh, that is a good one.
I like this one. Boogans 81. It's from 1981. It's a horror film where the creature is a kind of a half turtle, half crocodile. Which
it's terrifying.
And it's a lot of point of view shots with people looking down, screaming at the camera. The Preacher's Wife, Bound.
Bound. That sounds familiar. What is
Gina Gershon, Jennifer Tilly, Joey Pants.
Nope.
Remember this first came out, there's a whole big thing because there's like a really steamy, hot lesbian sex scene between Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
One of the most divisive comedies of our generation, Dave. And I feel like when you talk to younger people, it's a barometer for their sense of humor and what they think is funny and how far back their comedy knowledge goes. When they say this is the funniest movie they've ever seen, first it makes me want to slap them. Because I don't think it is that funny. And then this director's canon, considering some of the movies he's made.
Mm-hmm.
What movie do you think I'm talking about?
Spaceballs?
Yes, I am. It's being released on Blu-ray. Have you ever met a kid say, oh, Spaceballs is the funniest movie ever? And I'm like, you haven't watched a lot of comedy.
It was when I was a kid, though. It was the funniest movie I had ever seen when I was a child.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
It was funny when I was a kid.
Right.
I watched it again like a year or two ago. It was on TV or something, and it was okay.
Yeah. It also...
But compared
a
with...
A place at a time in a young Star Wars geek's... Mm-hmm. Childhood, where that movie comes in and just, you know, it just plays with the Star Wars, you know, mythology and all that stuff.
Right.
It had a place in a time that is over now.
Right.
But at the time, it was great.
Fair enough. And then possibly one of the worst films, one of the worst comedies, one of the worst sequels, and a film that has no reason to exist.
Uh-huh.
Because the star of the original film is dead.
Uh-huh.
Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting its release on Blu-ray.
I've never actually seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've
seen bits of it, and every time it was on, like TBS or something, I'd watch like 5 minutes of it, and I'd be like, nah, I have no interest.
I mean, the original was so good, but without Belushi, like, what's really the hook?
I don't even know why they made it. I don't know if Aykroyd just cashing in. I have no idea.
Maybe.
So you're straight to DVD pick of the week. It was a bad week this week. So I ended up going, there's a series of videos from different countries. This one made me laugh the loudest.
Uh-huh.
This is, from what I understand, this is all legit, too. This is not, like, a film. This is actually, like, it's not a movie. It's stuff that, like, not a documentary, but, like, a sporting event, I guess I should say, that was filmed. real topless fighting Hungarian women. There's a whole series in different countries. It's an amazing DVD from the Eastern Bloc containing 100% real competitive topless wrestling action with four new fighters as opposed to the previous ones.
Oh, yeah, because we need new blood.
Orsi, Vada, Vanda, and Kira. The quartet is fit, attractive, and possess fiery competitive spirits. Which one of them will prove to be the most skillful and aggressive wrestler? Is it the one who spends most of the bout on the attack? This DVD is great for female wrestling fans and a lookout for real wrestling action with nothing staged, scripted, or predetermined.
Are they going to bring back Glow?
I would like to see that. Didn't they try and bring that back a while ago?
I don't know.
But that's your straight DVD pick of the week, The Real Topless Fighting Hungarian Women. So do you have a streaming pick of the week for us?
I do, but before I get to it,
okay.
I want to talk about the news that I read today.
Yes.
I've yet to test this out for myself. But it seems like Hulu got released for the Apple TV today.
Really?
Yeah. Which makes, in my opinion, the Apple TV the absolute best cable cutter device that you can get right now. Mm-hmm. Because not only can you hook it into your computer, or not hook it into your computer, but stream all your music and TV shows and movies from iTunes to it directly.
Right.
But now, with the release of Mountain Lion for Mac OS, is you can actually... share your screen from your Macintosh computer directly to the Apple TV. So any content that you can watch on your computer, you can now watch on the Apple TV.
Wait, so on the Hulu Plus stuff, where that's web only?
Yes.
There's shows, because I just made this cut last week. I just canceled my cable.
Did you really?
And I picked up an Apple TV. I bought into Hulu Plus.
Yep.
But Burn Notice, Justified, Louie, yes. Wilfred. They're all web only.
So if you have a new Apple computer.
Right.
Right? Made in the last, from 2011 to present, with Apple's Mountain Lion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is there's some technology in the processor itself that allows it to do this. But it directly streams whatever is on your screen directly to the Apple TV and onto your TV.
You just made my day.
This is... the biggest news for cable cutters that I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Because basically, anything you can get on your TV or on your computer, you can now stream directly to your TV without wires. This is not hooking up an HDMI cord to your computer,
right,
into your TV. This is just, I see it on my computer screen, I throw it onto my TV screen.
So you need to have Mountain Lion. And you need to have Apple TV and an Airport Express, right? You need to have...
Don't have to have an Airport Express. You can have any wireless router. Wireless router doesn't matter.
Okay.
You need to have an Apple TV. You need to have a new 2011 or newer Mac computer running Mountain Lion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We're going to have to test this out, Dave, because I am
huge.
Picking up a new laptop today.
I know you are. This is particularly good news for you.
Yes.
You're literally... buying into this today.
Yes. Wow, because I've had this... We've been podcasting off of the same MacBook that I've had for like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I just upgraded to Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
From Tiger.
Yeah.
And I would tell people at the Apple Store, and they'd laugh, slap me, and kick me out the door.
Yeah.
So this is great news.
And now with the Apple TV just having Hulu on it by itself, I mean, when you just want to watch Hulu content that's available...
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you can just do it from the Apple TV, which is, I mean, I really enjoy Hulu. I haven't had cable now for about 2 years. I find it, between Hulu and Netflix, I really don't miss it, except for live sports.
Right.
But now if you have MLB.com...
But you still don't get Yankee games.
You still get Yankee games. You've got to wait, I think, 2 hours till the end of the game. So you don't get live Yankee games. Unless
it's only 2 hours after the game?
It's 2 or 4 hours. It's something. It's not that long. Unless... you go through a proxy server and pretend you're in, like, Texas or something.
You have to talk to me how to do that.
Okay. I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
I would never. That's cheating.
Fair enough.
And probably illegal. But back to the point,
yes,
or back to the topic at hand, I have a streaming pick of the week, too.
Please.
And since I've been talking about Apple so much in this segment, I figure I might as well go for something I watched on the iTunes Store, which is Get the Gringo. Have you seen this?
No. Is that Mel Gibson movie?
This is the new Mel Gibson movie.
All right.
This movie is good.
Is it really?
It is. And I know that I'm supposed to hate Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. But I've loved him for so long, it's hard to just shut those feelings off.
Right.
It's like a boyfriend that hits you that first time. Right. Like, and he says he's sorry.
I love
so
you,
maybe
baby.
He won't
Why
do it again.
Why do you do that? Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you liked Payback.
Yes, I did.
This movie has that DNA all over
it. Really?
Yeah. It has a very similar feel to it. And it's I got to say, it's a pretty good movie. And I was really happy to see it because...
Is that an Arian Pictures release?
Yeah.
I'll rent it.
Straight to Christ Films.
Fair enough. All right. And that's your straight to DVD... Excuse me. That's your Blu-ray DVD picks and your streaming pick of the week. Now we'll take another break, come back, and it's going to be call it time. We're going to present some scenarios, and Dave, we have some tough decisions to make. And I'm going to say something about call it, too, that I realized that I have an apology to make, so we'll tell you what that is when we get back.
For nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark, if it is there, Atanis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good.
Trust me.
And those who are evil.
I tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let her go.
No time. If you still want the Ark, it has been loaded onto a truck for Cairo.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. A film from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
Welcome back to the big show. It's Chris Galzer here with Velvet Chocolate himself.
That's
Dave
me.
Cunningham. Now it's return of Call It. See, I wanted to apologize for Call It because I feel like I've gotten away from the spirit of Call It.
Oh, really?
Call It is basically supposed to be, I'm gonna give you two scenarios and you got to choose an answer.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten more deep and I've tried to outthink myself on this segment.
Uh-huh.
So I went back to the roots of Call It.
Okay.
And
I'm glad.
For your first one, Dave, who was the better Peter Parker? Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire? This is the question. Better Peter Parker.
Better Peter Parker. Not better Spider-Man. Better Peter Parker. I think I'm going to go with Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. I thought he was pretty good. He had more of a humor to him, and I thought he did that better. But Tobey Maguire, he just felt more like Peter Parker that I remember as a kid.
Fair enough.
I liked the new kid as a Peter Parker though.
I'm gonna go with the new guy. I'm gonna go with Garfield.
Yeah.
I identified more with Garfield's Peter Parker than I ever did with Tobey Maguire's.
Yeah.
And I felt Tobey Maguire kind of played Peter Parker as kind of, I don't want to say the word wimp, but as kind of just a shrinking Violet, kind of wimpy milquetoast, and whatever, I can't even say the word.
Yeah.
But Andrew Garfield for me kind of is how I imagine it would be.
Yeah.
And a little just smart and funny and kind of clever. And
yeah, he did do that better. You know, I might actually agree with you now that you put it into words. He doesn't look as much like Peter Parker. I don't think.
Well, it depends. It depends on the artist.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think I would go Garfield.
I think I'm changing my answer because I think I like your answer better.
I like that.
All right. All right. Chris, yes. I did not get your memo, so my questions are a little more broad.
That's fine. That's right. Fine.
But call it.
Yeah.
Who is the best superhero that hasn't gotten a movie yet?
I think we've done this once, but before you were on the show. For me, it's going to be The Flash. The Flash was my favorite superhero when I was...
How do you make a movie out of a guy who just runs fast?
Well, he does more than that, though.
What else he does?
Other stuff.
Like what?
Well, he can make wind tunnels with his arms, kind of a thing, and lower like cushions and lower people from falling. And what's good about it's just I think why The Flash was so good when I got what happened is I read comics for a long time, then I grew out of it.
Yeah.
And then in college, a buddy of mine, Roger, got me back into comics, specifically with The Flash and the story arc Terminal Velocity, which was written by Jeff Johns. And I don't know if you know, Jeff Johns now is like one of the big guys of DC Comics. Pretty much he kind of is the Christopher Nolan like of the Batman in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Was, you know, he's the steering captain. Well, that's what Jeff Johns is at DC, basically. And his Terminal Velocity storyline was so awesome. His run on The Flash for that time period was absolutely fantastic. So out of all the superheroes who don't, I'd have to go Flash because he humanized him and made him, you know what, scratch that. I'm going to not
change
the Flash.
Your mind?
I am.
Altogether. Wow.
I'm forgetting.
Like mid-sentence.
Because I forgot about the series that really reignited my love for comics, which was James Robinson's Starman.
Starman
was...
There's a Jeff Bridges from...
No, different guy. Starman is the son of the original Starman.
Oh,
and he gets... Yeah, because you know Starman wore like a big red outfit with a green cape and a big gold star in his chest.
Uh-huh.
And he had found a way to harness gravity. So we had this rod, which basically let him fly.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it. It was he's a technologically based superhero. And his son, he has this one son who wants to step up and become the new Starman, and he gets shot and killed in the first issue.
Huh.
So the other son, Jack, kind of has to step up and find out who's trying to kill him and his family, and he eventually becomes the reluctant hero. But I've never identified with any comic book character like I did Jack Knight. He was, like I said, he was reluctant, he was funny, he was a smartass.
Mm-hmm.
He was an antique. He was like a cool antique dealer, like a pop antique dealer, and that was what his passion was.
Yeah,
and he did the Starman thing because he kind of had to. And eventually, he just retired. But it was a finite story arc, and only ran for 5 years or so. And it's still one of my all time favorite comic series of all time. It is a fantastic book. If you can pick it up, I can't recommend it enough. It would be. That Jack Knight version of Starman, hands down.
Okay.
What about you?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I just want to see them try and do the invisible jet and the bracelet deflect.
Well, I think they would axe the invisible jet at this point.
What? That's like the cool, and the lasso of truth? Come on.
Well, they'll keep that. But think about it. What's the point of the invisible jet if you can see her flying through the air in a seated position?
That's what's awesome.
Who would you cast as Wonder Woman?
The hottest chick available.
All right. Fair enough.
Who played her in the TV show? Linda Carter?
Originally, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and they actually tried to relaunch it a couple years ago, and it didn't work out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They made a pilot, but nobody picked it up.
Oh. That's a tough one, right?
You know who would be perfect? Gina Carano.
Gina Carano. Who's that? Oh, hey, yeah, that would be good. How would she look in the outfit, you think?
I think she'd look pretty good.
Yeah?
I think Gina Carano.
My second is the Wonder Twins. Would love to see the Wonder Twins.
You're just mocking me. Who would you rather score your film? You're making a movie, and you have to have all the theme music, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to give you an easy one like Ennio Morricone because it'd be him or
That's
Bernard Herrmann are the two I'd choose.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the two. I'm going to give you the guy who is known for the blockbusters.
Yeah.
The classic blockbuster guy,
yeah.
And then the guy who's kind of the current blockbuster guy.
Okay.
John Williams.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Jaws. Yeah. You'll notice one thing, most of his scores kind of sound the same.
A little bit, but they're all awesome.
And then Hans Zimmer. He's kind of the guy that does not the stuff now. He's done all the Batman movies, three of them. Crimson Tide. He does
John Williams.
You're gonna go old school with the
absolutely. I mean, those soundtracks are iconic, and frankly, I find myself humming them quite often
when you're walking through the supermarket.
Yeah. Did he do the Superman one too?
Yes, he did.
I hum that like on a daily basis. You know, when I'm fixing a computer
in the shower. I go back and forth on this one.
He's gonna give me a new score, right? So I'll have my own theme song.
You'd have your own.
Yeah. All right.
Which would sound like all the others. And there's also a knock against Hans Zimmer, though, is that he doesn't really write his stuff. He has a bunch of people that writes for him, puts it all together. All
right.
But I go back and forth, because Williams has some iconic scores.
Yeah.
They do all kind of sound like they're all from the same film. He just kind of changes a note here and a note there, and bam, they have a new one.
Let me ask you this
and
question, too.
And a little too bombastic, even, at times.
Oh, I disagree. I like bombastic. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, who scored your theme song, which answer would you rather give?
That's a valid point. Yeah, I probably want to go John Williams. I would rather have Ennio Morricone, but Ennio did all the, there's a lot of spaghetti westerns.
Oh, okay. Those are, yeah.
But he went a lot more than just that, but still, that's what he's most known for. Fair enough. So I guess I am going to end up going with John Williams after all.
Damn it. Didn't want to do it.
What do you got?
All right. You see the Boom trailer, the new Kevin James movie?
Yeah.
You like Kevin James?
Yeah.
Don't like him. I used to like that show, King of Queens. I thought he was really pretty funny in that.
Yeah.
And I even thought he was pretty funny in that movie Hutch that he did. That movie kind of sucked, but I thought he was funny in that.
Hutch? What's Hutch?
That was the one where he did with Will Smith.
Oh, you mean Hitch?
Hitch. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's different. So he's got a new movie coming out, Boom.
Yes.
Would you rather go see that?
Oof.
Or the new movie with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis?
Oh, I'm going to see The Campaign or whatever.
Are you looking forward to that movie?
So
you'd rather see, I mean, my question I guess really is which movie do you think is going to be better?
I think the Will Ferrell Zach Galifianakis movie will be better.
I think that movie looks awful, and I was
they
laughing
were on the Daily
the
Show
trailer.
The other night too. And
I have no doubt that both of those guys are extremely funny in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And John Daly does a good job of setting the guys up when they come on the show, especially Stewart? Comedians. Yeah, sorry,
not the drunken golfer.
No, different guy. But that movie looks terrible.
Well, their appearance on the Daily Show last week wasn't that funny.
No,
no, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But I'm gonna go with. I think it's called The Campaign because Zach is doing his Seth impression, which we talked about previously on an earlier show.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen it, you have to YouTube it. His Seth Galifianakis, which is his effeminate.
I don't find it funny whatsoever.
I'm interested to see it. I like both of them. We already made Dave sit through Casa de Mi Padre.
Yeah.
And this may be another Will Ferrell swing and a miss, but I'm a fan of both of their
Boom
works.
Looks
so
funny.
Check
to
it
me.
Out.
Like, and it's an
I don't
interesting.
Know if it does.
I think it looks good, and it's. I mean,
it's
all I saw was one
ridiculous idea.
I know, but it looks like it'd be fun to watch Kevin James do MMA fighting.
I haven't
like,
seen.
I just that
put it
looks
this way.
Funny to me.
I can't think of a Kevin James movie that I've enjoyed that I've seen.
Well, I don't know that he's really had like a great movie.
I can't think of one.
No, he was in what?
But
he
I
was
can
in
tell
the,
you a dozen Will Ferrell movies, Zach Galifianakis movies I've seen that I've enjoyed them.
I know, but that movie doesn't look like it's going to be good.
Mm. I don't think it's going to be watch bad, but I think it's going to be, we'll see.
All right, what do you got for me?
Who had a worse day as a cop? John McClane
or
Alex Murphy?
Who's Alex Murphy? Oh, he's the guy, RoboCop?
Yeah.
Well, definitely RoboCop. I mean,
but he becomes RoboCop.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was a bad day. That was a really bad day. I mean, what happened to John McClane? He stepped on some glass, he shot some people, he saved his wife. RoboCop lost everything.
Yeah, but McClane's also got it's happened to him four times.
Well,
it's
you said day.
That,
you said day.
That's a valid point. Yeah, I guess I gotta go. Even though it'd be kick ass to be RoboCop.
Yeah, I don't want to be RoboCop.
The events that have to fall into place for you to become
that was
RoboCop.
A bad day.
Yeah,
I heard they're making another RoboCop.
Yes,
movie.
They are.
Yeah,
there's a pretty good cast that's in it too. It's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So
who's
gonna
be the RoboCop?
I can't remember.
Is it gonna be a reboot?
Yes, it is.
Are they going to have the commercials in it?
Yeah, I think they're going to try and do some of that stuff. I hope so, because that was one of the reasons why the original film was so clever.
Yeah.
That's right. Gary Oldman's in the new one. Sam Jackson's in the new one.
Uh-huh. Is Sam Jackson going to be RoboCop?
No. Awesome. No, Joel Kinnaman is going to be RoboCop. I'm not quite sure who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Jay Baruchel's in it. Hugh Laurie's in
it. Are they going to set it
Jeffy
in the 80s?
Earl Haley's in it.
They should set it in the 80s. That'd be awesome. Know.
That would be interesting if they did that. I doubt it.
So it's going to be a complete reboot.
It's not like Detroit's really turned around since then, so they probably don't need to.
Yeah, right?
Sorry to our fans in Detroit.
Yeah, oops.
I didn't mean that. It's kind of a out of nowhere
Eminem's gonna
shot
kick your
right
ass.
In the nuts that you didn't really deserve. I guess I got to go Alex Murphy, too.
Yeah, that was a rough day for RoboCop, man. That was not cool.
No, it was not.
That was, I think, one of the most graphic things I'd ever seen as a young child. Yeah. Was his hand got blown off.
Yeah, and remember, too, that part of it was cut. Originally, that film was rated NC-17, and they cut it down to R. Because, and they basically trimmed out that scene.
Oh, so how,
it was a
how
lot
did
worse
I see it?
Than, well, no, that's still there, but it was a lot worse.
Oh, it was worse?
Film.
Oh.
That's why I was all excited when I actually have the Criterion RoboCop. Which initially was the only way you could actually see the full version.
Oh, really?
But since then, they've released the whole version.
Oh, okay.
But the
how's that movie hold up?
It still works.
It still
I
works?
Think it's still totally. And right, cool. In a lot of ways, I think it's even more prescient now than it was back then. A lot of the stuff they talk about in that film
has come to pass.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah.
The next thing, too, is like the privatization of the police force. That's something that some people are into.
Yeah. That's scary stuff right there.
So what do you got?
All right. My last question is... Call it. Is Taken 2 going to be better than Taken?
No.
No?
I can't see how. I can't see how.
Did you see the trailer? Okay, so I just saw the trailer for The Watch, or before The Watch, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, this is going to be badass.
I think
this is
going to
be just more Taken.
Yeah, I think it will be.
And I was not into Taken for the story. That was totally a throwaway story as far as I was concerned.
I agree. I think that why I like Taken so much, because it was such a surprise how entertaining that movie was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, there are times where it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining as all hell. It's such a tight 90 minutes. Like, it just does not let up. And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's all the same people. Everybody's back for it. So, even the directors and the
except
writers,
about, like, 200 back guys.
Yeah.
They got a new 200 guys.
But I can't imagine it's going to be as good. But if Taken's an A and this is a B, or I'll be happy.
Yeah,
you know, I'll be happy.
What do you think? Okay, so what do you think between Taken and The Gray? Which one's better?
Oh, I think Taken has a much higher rewatch value. I've watched Taken 4 or 5 times since it came out. Even though I liked The Gray, I've had no push to buy it. Taken I bought almost right away.
I'd like to watch The Gray again. I haven't watched it since we originally saw it. I really enjoyed it, though, and I would like to watch it again.
Yeah.
Taken, I've watched it a couple of times since I saw it in the theater, and I've enjoyed it every time. It's kind of like Ronin. You ever see Ronin?
Yeah, yeah.
Ronin's one of those movies I can just kind of watch over and over again. It's just so entertaining.
That's a great example. All right, Dave, I actually do have one more.
All right, bring it.
We always end with the worst-case scenario where you have to choose one of these films. One stays, and one goes away forever.
No!
Never watch it again. A couple weeks ago, I watched Hostel 3, which is an abysmal film.
Yeah, that can go.
Yeah, well, no. Sadly, that's not one of your choices. I'm actually one of the few people who think Hostel 2 is better than the first one.
Okay.
But this direct-to-video third is not worth your time. Dave, call it. One of these is gone forever. One you get to keep.
Yeah.
The Exorcist or The Shining?
Oh, shit. Exorcist... I haven't seen The Exorcist in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that was a good movie. Shining, though, with Jack Nicholson's performance.
Yep.
I gotta keep The Shining.
You think so?
Yeah, because I can watch that movie. And the reason I haven't watched The Exorcist in so long, or the reason I've watched The Shining recently is because I've probably watched that movie 10 times in my life. And I will watch it another 10 times, I'm sure of it. So I'm definitely gonna go with The Shining. I wanna keep The Shining.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think The Shining, even though The Exorcist is known, it's called the scariest movie ever made, which I think is a debatable thing, but what The Shining does throughout its film, how creepy it is, how it builds as the film goes. Not that The Exorcist doesn't, but Kubrick does something with that film that forgive the pun, haunts you. The Shining stays with you. The Exorcist is scary, and it's a lot of freaky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a movie I'm going to watch again and again and enjoy over and over again. It's going to be The Shining.
That whole, like, the the whole stuff with the kid, like, kind of rolling through the or the hotel and on the big wheel, that stuff is creepy as all get out. The whole Red Rum stuff.
Yeah.
The bartender scenes are amazing.
Well, that's the other thing, too. The Jack Shining's Nicholson. A lot deeper. There's a lot more going on in that movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot more contemplative, psychological horror in The Shining. Not just Jack Nicholson going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely go into Shining. You know what I'm actually looking forward to is Stephen King's writing a sequel to The Shining.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I read the other day that they're thinking about filming a prequel, making a prequel movie.
I'm not really looking forward to that. There's been other versions of The Shining that have been made for TV. And
that Stephen Weber one?
Yeah.
It was like, to be closer to the book?
Not good. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. I'll say it didn't hold a candle up to.
No, it doesn't have the gothic horror feel.
God, like that movie was just. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. I don't like horror movies, but that movie. That stands alone, I think.
I would agree.
Kubrick is a master, was a master.
Mm-hmm. That's right, girlfriend. And that's Call It for this week. We'd love to hear decisions. What calls would you make? Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Want to take another break, come back, and though I think we already spoiled that, we'll tell you what's coming up next week.
All right, I got one more. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got one more.
You went four, too, huh?
I just thought of it.
I just thought of it. All right.
All right, so if somebody was going to make a movie of your life,
mm-hmm.
who's you get two choices, Wes Anderson or Stanley Kubrick. Who's it going to be?
My life? I'd probably have to go Anderson for my life.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of deep psychological metaphor going on with me.
It's
all kind of quirky, weird kind of stuff.
So all right, let me rephrase it. Like, so
I think it's interesting, though, that you conflate those two directors that you think they're on an equal level, that I'd have to choose between one of them.
Yeah.
So I think Kubrick's a much better director.
I would agree, but they're my two favorites. Or they've made my my favorite movies.
Okay.
All right, I guess that's all I got for that one.
What would you choose, then?
I don't know. Wes Anderson, I think, would fit my life better.
Mm-hmm.
But Kubrick was... everything he made was just so damn riveting.
I'd love for him to insert lots of hot, naked women walking around my house all the time. Eyes Wide Shut.
Really? Yeah.
That's kind of like how my life is though. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed that being here.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It keeps me coming back. All right, let's end this segment, and we'll come back and tell you what's coming up next week.
Thanks, Dave.
You have another nightmare?
Yeah.
Are you actually happy with how your life's turned out?
Why the hell shouldn't I be?
What do you know about this recall place?
Stay away from them. Don't mess with your mind, man.
Welcome to Recall. First time?
Tell us your fantasy. We'll give you the memory. You want to be a crime fighter? Or a world-class athlete? Or a secret agent?
Yeah.
Happy trails, man.
What is it? What's wrong?
Yank that needle out before it takes.
Why are you here?
Oh, why?
Metal, please!
Oh, wait, wait, wait.
It's all a mistake. Nobody.
Hands on your head now!
Trying to kill me.
Your memory was erased. Your mind was implanted with a life you think you've lived. Oh, by the way, you haven't even begun to see me trying to kill you.
Get in. I've been looking for you everywhere.
Next week is going to be Total Recall. which is not a remake of the original film, but is a different version of the original source novel from Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. You're not seeing a remake of the Schwarzenegger film. You're seeing a whole new version.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if this one takes place, if anything takes place on Mars.
I don't think it does. I think it's all on Earth.
So, but I'm excited to see it. I love Colin Farrell in Fright Night. I think it was the last time we'd seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what he's going up, what he's up to next. The only thing is I'm worried about, as I said earlier in the show, is the director. I'm not a fan of his work historically, so we'll see how this turns out.
Hopefully it'll be good. I mean, have you seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger version of that movie recently?
Yeah, I watched it like a month or two ago.
How was it?
It's okay. It's good. Verhoeven, I remember how shocking the violence was at the time when that film came out and how tame it is kind of now.
Yeah.
And how cutting-edge special effects when he walks through that X-ray machine. How quaint is that now? Yeah.
How about the helmet that he wears? The woman's face?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Good. That was impressive
but
stuff.
But I can confirm to you that the three-breasted women does make an appearance.
Yes. I saw it in the trailer. They kind of
did.
Didn't
they say, did you hear about that at Comic-Con? She went to Comic-Con dressed up with the three
breasts. Oh, really?
That's hilarious. And people asked her if it was like, did you get that done for this? Like, not doing the math that it was just like a prosthetic. They felt like they had a third implant put in or something like that.
Wow. I have something really repulsive to say about comic book fans right now. I mean, just keep it to myself.
You gotta remember, a lot of these people, and I used to be one of them, you know, if they're young enough, they've spent most of their time in their parents' basement.
Yeah, yep, I hear you.
Watching the same 2 minutes of Total Recall over and over again.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this movie. I'm not sure if it's going to be good, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
And we'll let you all know.
So,
all
right.
Check us out on the social networking sites. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Do a search for The First Run. And that's it. Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Tell us how much you like us, despise us, or if you're apathetic. But if you're apathetic, you probably won't bother to write an email.
Yeah.
And that's the show for this week. We're taking an extended break, and we'll see you all in a week.
See you next week.